Spirituality is conformity to Christ. So let's read what Jesus said about that in Matthew 10:25. And George was a great theologian, but I would rather hear what Jesus has to say. He said, he was discussing things with the religious leaders, and he said, "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord." Now they were just accusing him of being of the devil. And he was saying, "I am God's man. And a servant is like the master." He says, "If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his own household?" We're not concerned with that part, just the first part of the verse, where he says, it is enough for the disciple to be as his master. In other words, we as Jesus' disciples want to be like Jesus. If we do not want to be like Jesus, we are not his disciples. You know, it's amazing to me that we have a lot of people who say that they are Christian, who say they are disciples of King Jesus, but they have no desire to be like him. That's just not the way it is. It is true spirituality when we want to be like Jesus. But understand this, in this life in which we live, because of our sinfulness, even after we become Christians, it's a struggle to be like Jesus. It's a struggle to be spiritual as Jesus was. We work toward that. We should work toward that. In fact, the truth is that in the eyes of God, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus, in the eyes of God, we are that way. But when we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we think about what we have done between getting out of bed and looking in the mirror, we realize we are not like Jesus because, you know, we've already messed up, usually. But here in this life, here in these physical bodies that we have, we struggle. Even Paul, he said in Romans 7:15, "In fact, I don't understand why I act the way that I do. I don't get it. I know what is right, but I do the things that are wrong." You ever find yourself like this? You know, you want to do right. You want to do what Jesus would do. You want to be like Jesus, but you're not. You try, you try, you try, you try, you try, you try. You work at it, but you're not. Understand this. Write it down, kids. If the truth is, if you are a Christian, you are like Christ in the eyes of God. I want to emphasize that because too many times what we do, we look in the mirror and we don't see God, we don't see Jesus, so we say, "Well, I must not be saved." Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about salvation here. In Romans 4, 5, 6, and 7, it says, "You cannot make God accept you because of something you do. God accepts sinners only because they have faith in Him." In the Scriptures, David talks about the blessings that come to people who are acceptable to God, even though they don't do anything to deserve these blessings. David says, "God blesses people whose sins are forgiven and whose evil deeds are forgotten." On the cross of Calvary, because of what Jesus did for us, our sins are forgiven. That's why God accepts us. And He forgets all of the sins that we have done because they are covered by the blood of Jesus. And if this is true, and it is because the Word of God says it is, why do we struggle so much outwardly and inwardly in being like Christ? And I struggled myself. I have a lot of struggles with that. And I don't understand it. And I'm like, Paul, why do I do the things that I know are wrong? Why do I do that? Why do I watch the news and get ticked off? You know? Why do things irritate me? Why does, because I don't feel good or something, I say things or do things I shouldn't say or do. Why? And then I looked back in the Bible and I looked at Jesus and I saw that when He was here, He was human. Now, He didn't sin. Don't leave here thinking I said that, but think about this. Write this down. Christ's likeness, being like Jesus, does not exempt us from weariness. You know, even Jesus became weary, sometimes at awkward times. You remember in Mark 4:38, it says Jesus was in the back of the boat with His head on a pillow, and He was asleep. And His disciple woke Him and said, Teacher, don't you care? We're about to drown. And here's the situation. They were out in the storm in this little boat with at least 13 people, probably more than that because they very rarely just travel with just the disciples. There was probably more. And the boat was probably from about here to where the church used to end, back there where the floor starts. That's not, and it was about maybe a little wider than that aisle. And so you had those people in there and the storm's going and so they're about to turn over. So they begin to look around for Jesus. And where was He? He was back in the back of the boat back there asleep. He probably had one of those My Pillows. You know, I have one of those. I like those things. I love it. I don't think so. I'm just teasing, but You know why Jesus was asleep? He was tired. You know, no big theological thing there. Jesus got tired, so He went to sleep. Jesus got tired. And when Jesus became tired, don't you think we will get tired? And sometimes, you know, it's not because we took an Ambien. You know, I did that during the revival. Some of y'all know about this. I was sitting there. I had my medicines all laid out there. And the first night of the revival, man, I took my medicine. I came up here. And about halfway through the sermon, man, I noticed Don was just kind of, I don't know. And everything was great. And I got up to do the invitation. And I was sitting around. And I was just fine, you know, Bradley. And all of a sudden, I realized I don't know how many verses we've sung. it was just the weirdest thing. So then I got the car to drive home, and I guess we got home okay. I don't remember it. And I went to take my blood pressure medicine, and there was my, or excuse me, take my Ambien, and there was my blood pressure medicine. For those of you who don't know, Ambien's a sleeping pill that you take, and it will lay you out after about 30 minutes, if you don't know. And so I don't think Jesus took one of those. I think Jesus just was tired. You know, think about that. If Jesus got tired when He was here, don't you think you'll get tired another time? Luke 23:26, as the soldiers led Jesus away, they grabbed a man named Simon who was from the city of Cyrene, and Simon was coming to Jerusalem, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Here Jesus, you know, he was going to the cross. He was tired again. He'd been up all night praying. Not only that, he was up part of the night getting beat up. Part of the night being cussed out, you know, spit on. He probably just plain collapsed. So the soldiers picked out the black guy and made him carry the cross. Why did he do that? He was tired. Jesus was. Sometimes we get tired and we have to rest. And sometimes we get beaten down so badly we need help carrying the load. And during this time, we don't feel like super Jesus. We don't feel like a super Christian. We don't feel like we can take on the world. And I'm so spiritual. But let me ask you this. During those times when Jesus got tired, was he a failure? He wasn't a failure. Jesus at no time was ever a failure. And folks, sometimes because you get sick, sometimes because you get weary, doesn't mean you're a failure. Sickness and weariness are a part of this life, and they were for Jesus and they will be for you, but they won't always be. I will tell you right now, Jesus is physically alive and he's in heaven and he's up there preparing a place, and sickness and weariness are no problem for him now. You understand that. And it won't be for you either someday. And also remember that Christ-likeness does not exempt us from being misunderstood. Jesus wasn't always understood, was he? No. In Mark 15, 29 to 32, again, he's on the cross. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." And likewise, the thief, chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. They didn't get it, did they? They didn't get it. They didn't understand Jesus. They didn't understand what he was doing on the cross. They thought it was all about his physical death. They thought if we just get rid of him physically, we'll be done with him. They didn't get it at all. They thought it was all about the here and now. The cross was not so much about the physical death of Jesus as it was Jesus paying for the sins of the entire world. The cross was not so much, even though he did die physically, the purpose of him dying physically was to forgive and pay for the sins of all of us in the entire world. That was it. They didn't get it though. Thank goodness they didn't, because they probably wouldn't have crucified him, because they were controlled by Satan. You see, Jesus on the cross looked down through history and he looked and he saw every one of you all and he said, "I'm going to die and pay for their sins. And if you turn from your sins to him and trust and believe and call upon him, then that's what that cross is all about. You come to him and you become one with him." They didn't get it, though, did they? They thought it was all about the here and now. And folks, that's the way most non-Christians are. They think everything is about the here and now and what's going on right now. You know, you watch the news, nobody gets it. Nobody understands why things are happening in the world, in our country, and the way things are going down the tube. Nobody understands that it's related to spiritual events. They think it's all about here and now, and if the government will just fix it, if so-and-so will just fix it, if we just pass this law, if we just pass that law, it'll get fixed. They don't understand because they are consumed with this world and what's in it. And unfortunately, even Christians are that way. But that's not what the cross was about. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. As a Christian, there are going to be many times, folks, you will not be understood. You know? There's going to be times when you're going to be mocked. There's going to be times when you're going to be bullied and picked on because you are a Christian. And yes, there may come a time when you may even be killed because you are a Christian. All over the world, Christians are being murdered simply because they claim the name of Jesus as their Savior. That kind of thing will wear you down. But regardless of how you feel, regardless of the lies of this world, regardless of the lies of Satan, it will not make you less like Christ. And finally, Christ-likeness does not exempt you from a sense of failure. You know, Jesus worked and worked and worked his entire life. He worked his entire ministry. He worked, you know, I mean, and that's why he was tired a lot of times, because he worked. He did a lot. And in Luke 13, 34, Jesus is looking up at Jerusalem. Jerusalem's up on a hill. And so Jesus is standing there and he's looking up at Jerusalem, and he loves Jerusalem. And he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, your people have killed the prophets, have stoned the messengers who were sent to you. I have often wanted to gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me." Now Jesus is talking about personally, because he had spent so much time working there, but he was also speaking as God, because he says, you know, God, that was God's chosen people. And he had tried throughout history to make them follow him and get him, gather them up, and they would not let him. He's looking at Jerusalem. He's crying out because he felt like he had failed Jerusalem. He did miracle after miracle there. He preached sermon after sermon there. He loved people. He defended people. He literally wrung himself out in ministry, in prayer for Jerusalem. But they rejected him, and all of his sense of failure comes out in this one verse. And you know how they rejected him. There it is. If he'd been out of the country, probably they couldn't have gotten up enough people to take him and put him on the cross. But those city folks, you know. Let me ask you this, though. Was Jesus a failure? No. But perhaps he felt like one. Sometimes you do. You know, I've talked with parents, for example, who do everything right. They brought their kid up in church. They read their Bible to the kids at home. They did everything they possibly could do for their children. And then their child decides to enter a sinful lifestyle. And those parents felt like failures. Were they? I don't think so. I think they're sorry, good-for-nothing, grown-up baby of a son or daughter may have been, but they weren't. They did all they could do. I have known men and women who did their best in their marriage, whose husband and wife left them for someone else, and they felt like failure. Were they? No. You can't control what other people decide to do. I could go on. Pastors, I've had friends who were run off from their church because they were not contemporary enough. Employees who were fired because they were getting older and the bottom line was more important than experience. Children rejected by their parents because they didn't follow their parents' dreams for them. On and on and on. Folks, listen. These types of so-called failures that happen in spite of the fact that you're following God may not be a failure, but they can sure get you to feeling a sense of failure. It even happened to Jesus, but he was never a failure ever because he followed God. And you won't be either so long as you're following God. Follow God and walk with Jesus. So what's the point of this message? Serve Jesus. But realize, write this down, you're not greater than he was. And neither is anyone else, you know. Jesus became weary, and you're going to be weary sometimes. You're just going to get weary sometimes. And look at me now. Look at me. You've tuned me out, some of you. Look, you're going to get weary sometimes. And look, other people are going to get weary too. So cut them some slack. It's all right. Sometimes when we get tired, everybody's supposed to cut us some slack. But when somebody else gets weary and they do something stupid, they're supposed to be a Christian. Cut people some slack, you know. Jesus was misunderstood, and you're going to be misunderstood too. And sometimes other people are going to be misunderstood. You're not going to understand them. That happens to me a lot. Of course, I don't understand myself half the time. You know, but if you don't understand people and why they're doing something, cut them some slack. It may just be you're stupid. You know, I hate to say that, but you just don't get it. Jesus became discouraged. And I know you could argue with that verse, but I really do think he was. I think he was, you know, it said Jesus wept. I think he got discouraged. And you're going to be. And other people will too, so cut them some slack. Becoming a Christian does not make you perfect in this life. It makes you perfect in the eyes of God. But when you look in the mirror, you're not going to see perfection. And when other people look at you, they're not going to see perfection. And when you look at other people, you're not going to see perfection. The only person we're going to look at and see perfection is Jesus. That's it. But we can get on the road to perfection. Jesus Christ, as I told you, died on the cross. And if you would come to that cross and lay down the burden of your sins and call upon Him to save you and believe in Him and call upon Him, He will save you, and that puts your feet on the right road. And that's where you need to be this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus, you need to do that today. And Christians, I want to encourage you to walk with Jesus, but cut yourself and others slack. Don't expect yourself and others to be perfect. But don't make excuses for sin. Sometimes you are in a mess, I am in a mess, we are in a mess, not because we're following Jesus. No. It's because we've sinned. And there's an answer for that too. The answer to that is repentance. If we confess our sins, then God's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins, we all sin, we still mess up. And God has provided for that too. Don't get yourself in a mess because of your sin and make excuses. Confess your sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive you, and He'll cleanse you. So, how do you know the difference? Well, we have a time at the end of every service where we have an invitation time. You know, nobody ever comes down, and that's okay. But during the invitation time, that's a time when I make everybody bow their heads. You're not supposed to be thinking about what you're getting ready to go home and eat. You're supposed to be praying. And during that prayer time, if you've got a lot of struggles going on, and you feel discouraged, and you feel bullied, and you feel tired, and you feel this, and you feel that, and you feel the weight of the world, you need to talk to the Lord during that time. And you ask Him, Lord, is this happening because I'm following You? Or is it happening because I've messed up and sinned? Or is it just one of those things that happens? That's it. Sometimes just stuff happens. The older you get, the more you break down physically. You know, my wife and I have a new hobby now, going to the doctor. You know, almost every week we're going somewhere to the doctor. You know, it just happens. But sometimes it's caused by sin. Sometimes, you know, it is because you're following Jesus. And that's why we have this invitation time for you to take a moment before you go back out and hit it in the world. You take a moment and just make sure you don't got any problems with this sin thing going on, so you can confess it and say, Lord, let me get that straight. Okay? And if it is just stuff that happens, don't beat yourself up over it. You know? Cut yourself some slack. You know, your husband, your wife, they're having trouble, your kids, you know, cut them some slack. But your friends, whatever. Kids, if you got friends at school and they're acting like idiots, cut them some slack. That's what the invitation time's for. When you got some struggles, talk to the Lord about it. You know what our job as a church is to ask. We don't do it. We just try to fix it. No, we need to ask the Lord. Would you bow your heads? And Amy's going to...